First Corinthians chapter 10, starting our reading at verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 10, starting our reading at verse 1. You'll find that very often in the New Testament, you'll find that the writers of the New Testament, especially Paul in this instance, is looking back at the typology. Everybody say typology. It's basically like a type or a symbol. The symbols of Jesus in the Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament is full of symbols, typology, types. In fact, the Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus Christ, towards the coming of Jesus Christ. You see it in the tabernacle plan. You see it in how they came out of Egypt by the blood, the water, and the Spirit. You see typology all the way through the Bible. And in this scripture, Paul is pointing out some of that typology. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren." In fact, if you've got a different translation, that probably reads in some translations, it reads, "For brethren." Anybody got a "for brethren" in their version there? Yep, some people have "for brethren." That tells us that although this is chapter 10, it is linked also to chapter 9. So if you want to have a look at what chapter 9 says, because this follows straight after chapter 9. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock." Everybody say the rock. "They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." If you were here on Sunday night last week, I read this scripture and I wanted to preach from this. I want to preach today the rock that follows us. Turn to the person next to you and say, "The rock that follows us." I want to preach today about the rock of the ages, the rock that follows us. It is none. The Bible says they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I want to preach Jesus today, simply Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Let your word speak in this place today. Let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. If you go to, you may be seated. If you go to that next slide there, Brother Ben. Paul says, he said, "I don't want you to, you Corinthian people, to forget about the Jewish people of old." He said, "I would not have you ignorant about our forefathers." He said how they were under the cloud, how they went through the sea, how they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They ate of the spiritual meat, everybody say manna. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank from that spiritual rock, and it was the rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Everybody say, that rock was Christ. So Jesus is the rock of the ages. He is the rock that follows us. And so while, as Paul is writing to the Corinthians here, while most of the Corinthian believers were Gentiles, Paul expects them, as you can see in our text, Paul expects them, go to the next slide there, Ben. Paul expects them to regard their Old Testament Israelites as their spiritual fathers. He is clearly pointing out the connection between the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers. He mentions a few things. He mentions, first of all, the cloud. You see, after they came through the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness, and the Bible says that they followed the cloud by day and they followed a pillar of fire by night. He talks about the cloud. He talks about the sea. It talks about how Israel crossed the Red Sea. We know that the waters parted and they went through the Red Sea on dry ground. Paul talks about the spiritual drink. He's talking about the water that flowed from the rock. But we also see a word there, and it's the word baptized. Everybody say baptized. You go to that next slide there, Ben. Paul uses this word baptized metaphorically in verse 2, but it does illustrate something very, very important. It illustrates one of the purposes of baptism. And one of the purposes of baptism is that it initiates a believer into the body of Christ. See, when we are baptized in Jesus' name, we take on his name, that family name, if you like, and we become part of the body of Christ. And when Jesus is pronounced over you, his death on the cross is made efficient for you, your sins are forgiven, you take on that name. That name is so important. That name is Jesus. Higher than any other name, the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Everybody say Jesus. Next slide there, Brother Ben. So we read here that there were two baptisms. The Bible says that they were baptized unto Moses in verse 2, in the cloud and in the sea. Two baptisms for Israel. They were baptized by water through the sea, and they were baptized by fire. The Bible says they were baptized in the water and they were baptized in the Spirit under the cloud. And the cloud throughout the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit. And both baptisms were necessary for them. They had to go through the Red Sea in order for the Egyptians that were following them, which speaks of sin, to be destroyed. And when we are baptized, our Egypt, our bondage, our slavery, our sin is destroyed in the waters of baptism. Our sins are remitted, they are washed away. And the children of Israel had to go through the water. And then they came out in the wilderness, and how were they going to find their way through the wilderness? The Bible says, Moses says, and they were baptized under the cloud. And that cloud speaks of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, two baptisms were necessary for them, and two baptisms are necessary for us. In John chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, you can see it. Jesus answered, I've kind of put it there so it fits on the slide, but you can look it up. Answered and said unto him, this is Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit. Everybody say two baptisms. The water speaking of the baptism and the spirit speaking of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the words of Jesus. But here are the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He also said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, water, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Two baptisms. And see, just like in those days, and they came out of Egypt, it was two baptisms. The baptism for remission of sins and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We also need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. And we also need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit that gives us power to keep walking this Christian life. Everybody say amen. Praise God. Amen. So, two baptisms, and you see that all the way through. In fact, when Paul, he went in, he found some believers. They were just believers. They believed in Jesus. And he said to them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you, you're a believer, you're walking this way, but have you got the power of the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled? And they said, have you been baptized? Sorry. And they said, well, we've been baptized under John's baptism. He said that we should believe on one that should come after him, that is of Christ. And the Bible says that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then Paul, after they were baptized in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 5, he laid his hands on them and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, it is for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, it is for your children and their children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God
shall call.
But the focus of our message this morning is verse 4. Verse 4 says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. One God in the Old Testament and one God in the New Testament. That rock in the Old Testament was Christ. That rock in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. Now, we are to believe that there was a rock that followed them all the way through. Some people think, believe it or not, that it was a literal rock. Now, I can't put anything past God. But I tend not to think that it was a rock that followed them. There was always going to be a rock there, but more importantly, it was the presence of God that followed them. And that rock was Christ. You see, there are two occurrences where they drank from the rock. One at the beginning and one at the end. So we can conclude that through their wanderings through the wilderness, that there was a rock that followed them. There was a water from the rock. And we can conclude that because it was at the beginning and at the end, that most likely they drank from that rock all the way through their time in the wilderness. In verse, next slide there, Ben. And Paul said, in clarifying what that rock was, he said, "And that rock was Christ." It was the presence of God that followed them. It was not a physical rock that followed them, but the presence of God followed them through the wilderness. Everybody say, "And that rock was Christ." And so Paul is telling them, he said, "I don't want you Corinthians to be ignorant." He said, "Your forefathers came out of Egypt. They followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God provided manna from heaven. Water came out of a rock. I don't want you to be ignorant. God was following them through the wilderness. God was with them through the wilderness. And that rock was Christ." And even when, in all their murmurings, in all of their disputes, even when they wouldn't follow God, God followed them. Are you thankful for that today? That even sometimes when we have our back towards God, even though we're trying to run away from God, I've got a God that follows me wherever I go. David said, "If I make my bed in hell," that he is even there, because we have a rock that follows us. Amen. And so we all know today, we know what it's like to have our back turned to God and for God to still be faithful. He follows us through valleys low and he follows us through mountains high. We feel his presence when we most need it. How many people know what I'm talking about today? Sometimes God will even allow us to go ahead and stumble and make a mistake only to be there to catch us, because we've got a rock that follows us. In all his might, in all his wisdom, in all his strength, he is a rock. He is the rock of ages. In every age, from the time of the Israelites in Egypt to the time of today, we have a rock of ages. Jesus Christ is that rock. Amen. Strong, steadfast, nothing can break him. He's a rock in every age. As the old song says, "Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." We've got a rock, brothers and sisters. And that rock was Christ. Paul was telling them, the Corinthians, that Israel, your forefathers were followed by a rock. Jacob found a rock. Genesis chapter 28, verse 11. Jacob found a rock in Genesis. Turn there in your Bible. It's on the screen as well. It says, "And he lighted upon a certain place." He came to a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. "And he took of the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows, and he laid down in that place to sleep." You see, Jacob came to a point, the Bible says here, in a certain place. And it said he took a rock and he laid his head on that rock. I find it remarkable, completely remarkable, that Jacob was able to lay his head on a rock, that Jacob was able to go to sleep after a period of time where he had been uprooted. His life had been turned into turmoil. He is running for his life. Jacob, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. He's running from Esau. He had cheated Esau out of a blessing. He had also deceived his father to believe that he was Esau. He made mistakes. He lied. He did a lot of things, but Jacob found a rock. And there he is. He comes to a place when he finally realizes, he said, I've been running. I've deceived everybody. I've lied to everybody. I've been uprooted. I'm out of my comfort zone. Things are difficult. And he comes to a place where he couldn't run any further. He became tired. The Bible says he lighted to a certain place and he laid down. And when you lay down, you need a pillow. And Jacob found that pillow in a rock. Jacob was out of his comfort zone. Jacob was in a hard, cold place. He was not in a comfortable bed. And sometimes, let me tell you today, sometimes the circumstances of your life can have you tossing and turning. Has anyone ever been in that place? Anybody ever been in the place where you're running from everything? You're running from your mistakes. You're running from your mess. And you just get to that point where you're so tired and you don't know what to do. He comes to a place and it is there. You know, life can be very challenging. It's very challenging to lay our concerns down. It's very challenging to put away our mistakes and to find rest. We live in a day where anxiety is almost at epidemic levels. You can read that for yourself. Where we have depression at epidemic levels, people living with fear and worry. And that is exactly where Jacob found himself. He comes to a place where he just couldn't run any further. Anxiety, depression, fear, and worry. And he took a stone, he took a rock, and he put it under his head and slept. How could Jacob sleep on a rock? How could Jacob sleep unless his security was found in something other than his own ability to outrun his foes? You see, he had given up trying to run. He knew he couldn't do it in himself. He had tried to run. He had tried to hide. He had tried everything. And when he came to himself, he found his security. He found a place of rest. He laid his head on a rock and he found rest. There is a rock that follows us. You see, perhaps Jacob knew that there was more to a rock than just a solid material. Maybe Jacob saw his rock as the rock of ages. How else could he lay his head and how else could he lay his fears on a rock if it was not the God that is described in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2? Turn there in your Bible, Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. You remember this rock is all the way through the Bible. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. Be encouraged today. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. God is our rock. And when Jacob was trying to run from everything, he found rest in a rock. He found rest in a rock. Even the rock can become soft enough that you can lay your head down and find rest. Jesus said, I'm going to send the comforter. And later in that chapter, he said, and I will come to you. You can find comfort and rest in the rock because that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. There are people here today, and I know there's people here today who are trying to run from God. But let me tell you, even if you try to run from God, there is a rock that is following you. There are people here today who know what it's like to try to run from God, only to look over their shoulder and say, surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, because we've got a rock that follows us.
You'll get to that time when you come to the end of yourself, when you don't know what else to do. There's nowhere else to turn to. They found a comforter and a rest in the rock, and that rock was Christ. And if you're here today, if you're weary, if you're feeling anxious, if you're depressed, whatever it is, let me tell you, we've got a rock. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And wherever you go, that rock is following you. And that rock is Christ. When nobody else knew where Jacob was, the rock knew where he was. Nobody else knew he was tired, but the rock knew that he was tired. And if you are running from Jesus today, you can find rest in him. Next slide there, we read about Moses. We go back to our text, which Paul was referring to, Moses and the children of Israel. And we read here that how the water came out of the rock. And so Moses gets to a point, and he's got all these murmuring, complaining people. And Moses says, God, this nation needs something to drink. This nation needs something to drink. And God said in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God said, Moses, listen, this is good. Moses, I want you to take that rod. And I want you to strike. I want you to smite the rock. Now, if you know a little bit about your Bible, you know that rod that Moses had, he used it once before. He used that rod when he lifted it up above the waters and the waters parted. Yeah? And God says to Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to take that rod, that same rod that got you out of trouble before. And I want you to use it again, and I want you to smite the rock, and it's going to get you out of trouble again. Let me tell you today, and this is a little bit off course today, maybe God is speaking to someone right now. You must not forget the testimonies of your past. Because if God had delivered you before, if God has provided before, if God can open the Red Sea with a rod, he can do it again. You got to take that same testimony, and it will give you victory in the future. Don't forget your testimonies. Don't forget what God has done for you in the past. Never throw away your testimony, because listen, you're going to need it again. There's going to come a time when you're like Paul. And Paul says, he said, looking back over my life, looking through everything that God has brought me through all the victories and through all the hardships he's brought me, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got a testimony. Don't throw away your testimony. Write it down. Tell somebody about it. Don't throw it away, because you're going to need it again one day. And so this account here, Paul tells us what this rock was. Paul says, and this rock was Christ. A symbolism and a type of Jesus Christ. Paul says it was a spiritual rock. And you know, just like Moses smote the rock and water came forth. When Jesus was smitten on Calvary, water also came forth. You see, that rock is a type of Jesus Christ. And another day when Moses needed water, Moses was desperate. He's got all these people complaining. He's got a massive group of refugees. It's no picnic. They're there in the wilderness. They got nothing to drink. It was unbearable. Miriam has just died. And Moses has got this mutinous crowd around him, gathering, accompanying him. He's got one guy with him, a man named Aaron. Moses says, I need a word from God. I need a solution. Numbers chapter 20, verse 6, and says, Moses and Aaron went down from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Moses saw the glory of the Lord. Moses came seeking an answer, and God gave him an answer. And again, God says, Moses, if you want a drink, go to the rock. This time in Numbers 20, verse 8, Moses came seeking an answer, and he said, take your staff, and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Get everyone together. This time you don't need to smite the rock. This time I want you to speak to the rock in front of them, and it will pour out its water and will bring water out for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. You see, this rock is a type of Christ. Jesus only need be crucified once. And sometimes we make mistakes and we say, oh God, I need to go back, and if you need to die for me again. Let me tell you, he's been smitten once. He died once. He only needed to die once for the sins of the whole world. All you need to do after Christ was smitten is speak to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He doesn't need to be crucified again for our sins. He's already paid the price. You see, this is the typology of Jesus. This is this rock, and we can see it is just like Jesus. Just as he was smitten, water came out of his side. And so Moses raised his arms, and out of frustration, when he was told to speak to the rock, Moses struck it twice. Nevertheless, water came out, and the community and the livestock drank. God says, Moses, and I say to you today, Moses, you know where to go. Go to the rock. Go to the rock. There's somebody here today, you need a refreshing in your life. You need a touch of God in your life. You need a healing. You need an answer. I want to tell you one thing. Go to the rock. Go to the rock. Go to the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ this morning. That rock is the answer to all generations. Jesus is the answer for the world today. So after that, we see that Joshua took over from Moses. I'm skipping generations here, so just follow me. Joshua takes over from Moses, and they go into a battle with the, I think it's the Amaleks there, and you can see it, sorry. Amalek, yep. So they go into the battle with the Amaleks, and they're down in the valley, and Joshua's leading the battle, and guess what? What Moses wants to do? Moses goes to the mountain. Joshua's there in the battle fighting against the Amaleks, and Moses decides it's time to get some exercise. Hey, Moses, it's not time to get some exercise. We're in a battle here. But Moses goes to the top of the mountain. And there is Joshua fighting the battle down in the valley. And the Bible says that when he raised his hands on the mountain, the enemy was defeated in the valley. And so he's there, Moses is there, and he's got his hands raised. And the victory, they're prevailing. Joshua and the troops are prevailing in the valley. He's got his hand raised. But when his hands begin to drop, the enemy began to fight back. And so Aaron and Hur, they realize the relationship between what is happening on the mountain and what is happening in the valley. And so they go there onto the mountain with Moses. And there is Moses. He's doing more on the mountain without a sword than he can do in the valley with a sword. Let me tell you, when you got your hands raised, when you're surrendered to God, God can do more for you when you're surrendered to him than when you're trying to do it on your own. You got to go to the rock. God can do more for you. And there he is with his hands raised. And instead of running down to help Joshua fight, they run up, Aaron and Hur run up to help Moses, because they know if God's people don't have a shepherd, there will be no sheep. If you smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. And so at first, they hold his hands up. They say, Moses, we got to help you. Keep your hands up. But that couldn't happen for hours on end, because even Aaron and Hur, they're just human beings. And you can help somebody for a little while. You can help them through something, but there's going to come a time when even your help isn't going to be enough. When you just can't keep their hands up anymore. So they go down, and they couldn't hold his hands up for hours. So what do? Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12. Turn there in your Bibles. Have a look. Acts chapter 17 and verse 12. What do Aaron and Hur do? They're trying to help him. You know what they do? They say, hey Mo, we're trying to hold your hands up the best we can, but we're coming to our wit's end. We don't know what else to do. We also, Moses, are running out of strength. You know, Moses, we got to go to the rock. Look at this, Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and they put it under his hands and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. He said, we can do a little bit for you, Moses, but hey, we got to go to the rock. We got to get you on top of that rock and everything's going to be okay. Listen to me today. Some of you have come to your wit's end. Some of you don't know where to go and where to turn to. Yes, your Christian friends can help you for a little time, but eventually you're going to realize there's only one that can help. There's only one that can satisfy. There is only one refuge. There is only one strength, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Where do I go when there's nowhere else to turn to? Who do I run to? I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I go to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend. Hey, a friend? I go to the rock. Hey, I got a friend that's a rock. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, I went to a shop. We were traveling somewhere and they had pet rocks. These just rocks, just normal rocks. And they put these little eyes on the rocks and they put them in little clear plastic containers. And they were called pet rocks and they had names. And I remember my mom bought me a pet rock. How exciting. You know, maybe in substitute for a dog or a cat, I imagine. Too much work. But I had this pet rock. And so I looked at that pet rock one day, Sister Kim, and I thought, you know what? We got plenty of those in our backyard. So I started to collect pet rocks. And so I had this big box full of cotton wool and little cardboard containers with lots of different rocks, and they all had names. They were my friends. I was proud of my pet rocks. And so in my little world, I was happy. I had all these rocks. You know what I mean? They sell these things at the shop as pets. I got them free in my backyard. And so what I thought was a great idea, one day my mom and dad took me to my cousin Adam's birthday party, and I knew what I was going to get him. I was going to give him one of my pet rocks. And so I gave him about 6 of them. So they're in a big box, and I gave it to him. He's my age, just young, 5 or 6 years old. He starts ripping the paper off. He opens the lid and he says, a rock. I'm like, yeah, a pet rock. He didn't see it. Let me tell you, when I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And I still got a friend that's a rock, but his name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God says to Moses, I don't have a problem destroying Amalek. Moses, I don't have a problem destroying Amalek, but I want you to learn a lesson. Look, in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 13, it says, and Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, hey, Moses, this little experience you've had with a rock, this little experience that you've had with a rock, I want you to write it down for memorial in a book. I want you to remember it. I don't want you to forget it. I want you to teach it to your children. I want you to tell Joshua all about it. Verse 14 says, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an offer and he called altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Moses, I don't have a problem defeating Amalek. You've seen the victory that you just got, Moses. But I want you to learn a principle for the rest of your life. You can't do this on your own. Your friends can come and they can try to help you. But eventually, Moses, write it down. You're going to have to go to the rock. You're going to have to go to that steady place. Because, Moses, I want you to learn. You were in a problem. But the principle is more important than the problem. I want you to learn, I have been a rock in this circumstance to you. I have got you the victory. You didn't even have to lift the sword. Now write it down, Moses. Don't forget it. Maybe somebody here today needs to write it down. God is my rock. He's my shelter from the storm. Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? I gotta go to the rock. Paul said it like this in next slide there in Acts chapter 17, verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far, be not far from every one of us. There is a rock that follows us. That they should seek the Lord. Moses, you got to seek the Lord. Write it down. The problem was bad, but the principle is more important than the problem. When you get to that circumstance, when you face those trials and troubles, you got to seek the Lord. Because it says, though he be not far from every one of us. What about Joseph? Anybody know anything about Joseph? Everybody says, yeah, I know about his colorful dream coat. But Joseph had some dreams, had some great dreams. And there he is with his great dreams. He decides to tell his brothers, and it just goes from bad to worse from there. Moses then he had these dreams of greatness, that God was going to do great things. He gets thrown into a pit. He gets sold into slavery. He ends up in jail. And I want you to notice something. Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2 and verse 21. Just look at this. As you read the account of Joseph, and you read everything that's happening to him, as you feel sorry for him, as you see that all the terrible things that are happening just because he had a dream. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. What are the first seven words it starts with? And the Lord was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. Even verse 1 tells us he was brought down into Potiphar's house. There he is. He's a slave. And the Lord was with Joseph. Go down to verse 21. We read it again. But the Lord, it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison. Verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph goes through his unexplained absence of God. He's going through all these terrible circumstances. When he's promised one thing, he goes through the opposite. But the Bible tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. When God has promised something, let me tell you today, when God has promised something, it will come to pass. My faith must outlast his silence. God may be silent, but he's never absent. God may be silent, but he's never absent, because we have a rock that follows us. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from any one of us. Joseph, I know it doesn't look good. I know the circumstances are getting from bad to worse, but I'm with you. I am the rock that follows you. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. 1 Samuel 2 verse 2 says, there is none holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8 says, do not tremble and do not be afraid. How have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses? Is there any God besides me, or is there any other rock? Everybody say, no other rock. Isaiah says, I know not one. I know none. When you start trembling, let me tell you, start looking for a rock. When you start feeling afraid, start looking for a rock. You got to run into the rock. I can't face this on my own. I've got to go to the rock. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got to go to the rock. You got to go to the rock. David and Goliath. There they are. Big Goliath and the Philistines. Standing on the other side of the mountain, and everybody says, nobody can fight Goliath. Everybody's scared of him. Oh, we're not going. I don't want to go. No, man. I don't want to go. You're bigger than me. You should go. No, man. He's bigger than me. They're all there. And 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 44. Next slide. And the Philistines said to David, That's the second one I'm going to read. But the first one is verse 44. And the Philistines said to David, come to me. and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air. And I'm going to feed you to the beasts of the field. This is Goliath yelling out. Everybody's scared. David said, hey, who's afraid of this giant? Who's afraid of this giant? God delivered a lion into my hands. God delivered a bear into my hands. God did these things. He did it then. He can do it again. He can deliver this Goliath into my hands. Saul says, hey, okay, David, you want to go, man? Just let me give you some armor. He says, I don't need your armor because there's a rock following me. I'm going to go down to the brook. It says, and he be not very far from any one of us. I'm going to go down to the rock. And what's he doing there at the brook? He's down there at the brook. What's he looking for? He's looking for a rock. David, are you crazy? Are you crazy, David? Look at the size of his spear. Look at the size of his sword. Look at the size of his shield. That dude is massive. David said, all I need is a rock. And he goes down into the brook and he's looking for a rock. And he came out of that brook with 5 smooth stones. I've heard millions of messages on that. Some people say the 5 smooth stones are symbolic of Jesus. No, maybe. I don't know. I like to think that he got 5 smooth stones just in case he missed with the first one. Some people say that he got 5 smooth stones, but he could kill Goliath and the rest of his uncles. But he took 5 smooth stones. And he goes up to that Philistine, Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me. I want you to notice, he lists the armor and the weapons of Goliath. But he doesn't talk about his weapon. He had a weapon. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied. I come to you in the name of the rock. I come to you in the name of the Lord. It may look insignificant, but I've got a rock. And he slung that rock, and that rock brought down Goliath. Let me tell you, you only need one weapon when you go into battle, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the rock that follows us. He's not far from any one of us. I go to the rock. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. David wrote this. This is the same guy who fought Goliath. He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I've got a rock. And that rock was Christ. So after David, the people turned to idols again. Next slide. The children of Israel end up captives in Babylon. One night after everything had been taken from them, their home, their identity, their names were changed. They were no longer in their homeland and the promises associated with being children of Israel. They get to this point and this is where they come to. It says, by the rivers of Babylon. It wasn't a nice place, Sister Portia. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah. That's kind of like sounds Aussie. Yeah, we wept. When we remembered Zion, when we remembered where we'd come from, when we remembered our homeland, we wept. And we hung our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. They stopped worshiping God. They hung up their worship. For there they are that carried us away captive. There are our captors and they're asking us to sing. Who feels like singing? And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They sat down, they wept, they hung their harp on the willow. Israel had no more song. But King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had a dream. Everybody say he had a dream. He had a dream. He was the head honcho there. He was ruling with an iron fist. There he was, the king of Israel. And he has this dream. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Next slide there. And you can read about his dream. But here it is, the dream of this image of gold. The feet of the image were iron and clay. And all of a sudden, while Israel's hands were bound, there they are in captivity. David was not there with a smooth stone. Moses was not there to smite the rock. Israel were bound up in prisons, captives of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. They're rubbing their faces in it, saying, come on, sing a song, sing a song. And God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar who this Rock of Ages is. This is how this Rock of Ages thing works. He gave him a dream. It says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, I hope you got it there. You got verse 34, but it says, thou, O king. He said, Daniel, you're going to come and interpret this dream for me. And I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is. You've got to know what the dream is first without me telling you and then interpret it. And it says, he says, thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. You saw an image, Nebuchadnezzar. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee in the form, and it looked terrible. It was scary. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and the arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet were of part iron and part clay. And then thou sawest till, you saw that image until a stone. Everybody say a stone. Until a stone was cut without hands. That stone was cut without hands out of the mountain, which smote the image upon its feet that were of clay, and the whole thing broke into pieces. All of a sudden, there was a rock hewn or cut out of the mountain without hands. There was no mason at work. There just came a rock out of that mountain, and the rock began to rumble. It looks just like any ordinary mountain, but there was a rock in the mountain because the rock followed the children of Israel. And there they are, captives in Babylon. And there is the rock made without hands, comes rolling out of the mountain. It comes rolling down the mountain, and it rolls towards the image that had Israel in bondage. It comes rolling towards that image that had them captive. It was carved from the mountain without hands. And there it is, gathering momentum. Velocity began to develop, and it struck the image. God was saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you may set up an empire. You may set up something that you think nobody can take down, but you are nothing in and of yourself, because there is a rock that can bring you down in no time. Let me tell you, there they were in captivity, there they were in bondage, there they were in slavery, and all it took was a rock. And let me tell you, you may be in captivity, you may be in bondage, you may have addictions today. I don't know what your issue is, but let me tell you, there is a rock that follows us, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Christ the rock will appear also at the end of the world. While mankind tries to set up governments, while mankind tries to do everything in science and all that, eventually there is coming a rock, and he's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. Are you thankful for that? We have a rock, and that rock was Christ. In these times, these end times, we need a rock. I know you can watch the news. You can see things that trouble you. But more than ever, we need a rock. No matter how dark things get, never forget that the church's 2,000-year history is a story that is about challenges answered, solutions found. The church will be victorious because we have a rock that follows us. I'm talking about a rock that follows you. The musicians could come. The old song, we sang it. When all around is sinking sand. Sounds like the days we live in today, doesn't it? Sinking sand, shifting sand. When it's all shifting here and there. When you need a shelter, when you need a friend, I go to the rock. We sing the old song, my hope is built on nothing less. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
We've got a rock. David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. In Psalm 62 and verse 2, he says, he is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. Frank Sinatra, who gets a bad rap for singing a song called I Did It My Way. Even Frank Sinatra knew about the rock. He sang a song, Jesus is the rock in the weary land. Jesus is the rock in the weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Jesus is the rock in the weary land, the shelter in the time of storm. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 26 and verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Let's all stand in this place today. We have an everlasting rock. Somebody needs to come and find a place of rest on that rock today. Maybe you've been standing there for a long time trying to keep your hands raised, trying to win the battle on your own. Maybe you've called a few faithful friends and they're there. They're trying to hold your hands up. But there is coming a time when all you can turn to is Jesus Christ, the rock. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Everybody disregarded Jesus Christ. But he became the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to pray. I don't know where to go. I don't know what my next step is. Jesus, I need you right now, God. Is that you today? Do you need him today? I don't have the answers, God. Jesus, I need you in my life. Let me tell you, you can bring your complexities. You can bring your confusion. You can bring your fears. You can bring your hurts. You can bring it all to Jesus because we've got a rock. Let's lift our hands in this place right now. We've got a rock that follows us. He's not very far from any one of us. He's not very far from any one of us. Some of us need to cast our burdens on that rock. All of our troubles and all of our trials, God, we bring them to you. This altar is open right now. If you want to come and kneel before the rock of all ages, let me tell you, the rock is using this old preacher to preach to you today, to bring a message of comfort and strength to you. Because we've got a rock, and that rock was Christ. Hallelujah, Christ alone.